Back to the Mindful Edge, where leadership meets self-awareness and growth gets real. I'm Cecil.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dr. P. And today we're diving into a topic that a lot of leaders don't realize in shaping their behavior and leadership practice every day.
And today we get to talk about my fun topic, the inner teenager, and how it shows up in your leadership style.
And I'm a little nervous, guys, so bear with us. So this inner teenager, you know, you may be 35, 65, 25, and say, this has nothing to do with me. But under pressure and when we have those unresolved parts of us, that's when we sometimes behave as if we're 16 again.
Yeah, right. That was the fun age anyway. But it was, right? I was quiet anyway, so I was introverted. So I'm going to define inner teenager for you guys so you guys can kind of understand a little bit about what the term means and how to understand it. So your inner teenager, a lot of times we talk about the shadow work of inner child, right? Mm-hmm. Which is looking in the mirror, telling it it's safe, it's okay, we can kind of solve it. The inner teenager is the one who pushed boundaries, right? It's the one who didn't want to define the rule and ask, why is that a rule? Mm-hmm. It's the one who wanted to make sure that it has some autonomy about himself, right? Some privacy about himself. Yeah. I want to walk this world by myself. That's the inner teenager that we kind of miss a lot of times, right? It's the ages of whenever you started puberty, so 12 or 13, uh-huh, until about 18, 19, right? Late adolescence is that 19 to 25 anyway. But the adolescence time, the time where you just kind of was, I don't say lost, but you're trying to find yourself.
Yeah.
And then you build that into your leadership style because you become an adult right after those years. And the reality is no one's an adult after 18 or 19 anyway, right?
Which is crazy because in society we push so much on 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And I would see it at college when, mm-hmm, we would have students coming right out of high school and then we're telling them to get a major for the rest of their lives. And I would just be like, something about this is off. It doesn't seem right.
At all.
Yeah.
And so we push that, right? And then you get into a leadership style, mm-hmm, right? Or you become a leader of some sort. You become a manager or you become somebody higher up who's over people who's older than you, mm, right? And then that inner teenager comes out because you never were taught that I'm not really an adult right now.
No. No. Whew. Oh, let me sit with that for a minute. No, because we tell everyone, you're 18, you're grown. Mm-hmm. You're 18, you're grown. Mm-hmm. You're 19, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. And the brain doesn't even function that way. I always say, you know, when you're dealing with, and I like, what did you say? Late adolescence?
Late adolescence,
so
right.
18 to 24 is late adolescence.
That's still adolescence, right?
Because your
brain.
Brain. Yeah, the decision-making part of your brain. I can't remember what it is in the front part. But
prefrontal cortex, yep.
Okay, see smart people.
The decision-making process, yes.
It's not fully developed until you're 25.
Fun fact, they just actually updated that to say 31.
Oh my goodness, can it be 50?
And I think, and this is just my theory, my hypothesis, that it's going to go up even further because now we have a lot of kids who are technology-based, right? And so the brain is always stimulated all the time. So, mm-hmm, can it really develop properly?
No.
So 31 right now is
31?
The age, but it maybe it creeps up to 34, 35 because we have a lot of technology. We're at the alpha, the Gen Alpha, right? Which is, mm-hmm, all technology-based children who've been having a tablet since like 2 or 3.
Our kid. Well, yeah.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it stops around like 2023, I think, stops and starts a new generation.
Oh, my goodness.
But so, yeah, the brain fully develops right now. There's the stats and research that says 31 is the cutoff.
Oh, wow. That's kind of scary because when we talk about the inner teenager and this late adolescence, if you haven't matured.
Correct.
Or matured, however anyone says, mm-hmm, it can hijack everything.
For sure. And here's the thing. It's not really about the immaturity part. It's about patterns, right? So understanding that maybe in my house, a rule was I had to be home at a cutoff. Mm-hmm. Right. So then when I get to become a leader, I feel like the cutoff is you have to be on time all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I had a leader that was like, the times are. And I would be like, okay, can you just give people like 5-10 minutes, maybe 15-minute grace period? And they were like, no, if I can be here at such and such. And I'm like, but you don't have children. You don't live way across town. You're, you know, all the things. Or even at the time, I was afraid to get on the highway and drive. So I lived all the way out. I mean, it took me on the highway maybe like 20, 30 minutes. Okay. So when I took the street, it was about a good 45 minutes. God forbid I get stuck by a train.
Then you got an extra. Now you're sitting there twiddling your fingers.
Yeah, and I didn't want to tell them, like, I'm afraid to get on the expressway because I was in an accident when I was a kid with the semi.
Okay.
So even driving on the highway till this day, when I'm next to a semi, I speed past because I'm like, I don't want to be in this blind spot. But yeah, times are. Okay.
Yeah, and the reason, and think about that, right? When I was a teenager, I had a curfew. So I had to be home by this time, or I had to be, if it's generation, right? I had to be home by the light, by the street lights coming off, right?
Yeah,
so now I look at my people who are under me as the same way. The time says 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The time clock says 4:01. You're late. Right, because you're not here by this time, right? But my mind was ingrained with lights is when I need to be home. Mm-hmm. By 8 p.m., I need to be home. Not 8:01, not 8:02, right? That's what was ingrained in me as an inner teenager, right? If I was home by 8:02, what happened? I got chores.
Yeah. Oh,
nah, I can't go out this weekend.
Yeah, can't talk on the phone.
There's consequences. And then that's what the leader says, right? There's consequences to your actions. Now I got to write you up.
And see, and I became a different type of leader and a different type of parent. Mm-hmm. So when I gave a curfew, I gave a 30-minute grace.
Right.
So if your curfew was 11, you got until
11:30. Yeah.
So Cassidy would always come about 11:15, 11:20. Because she was smart to know, like, I'm not going to step it to 11:30, but I'll come midway through. And then that's the type of leader I was, too. Mm-hmm. I would give you grace. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And I still do that. I give everyone in my mind a half-hour buffer.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I'm putting something on my calendar, if I have a meeting at 10:30, I put it on my calendar as 10 so that I'm not late.
Correct.
If I am late, I'm still early.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Because even for me, when I was a leader, I was one who was very flexible. But my mom was very flexible. Right. I've never saw my mom be very rigid in telling me like,
no, she was. Yeah,
right.
She
never. Was so there cool. was no teenager stuff where I had to be home by this time.
Yeah, she was chill.
And I became that leader. Right. I became the leader who understood that there's some boundaries. Right.
Yeah,
there's some respect factor.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not going to push because you need to go take time off to go see your kid. Right.
Yeah.
But I know that was also a downfall of mine because I was too lax. Right. And I think that was the issue that they didn't really want to say out loud, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, well, everybody else is doing this and being stringent, and you're the one who's lax and your people love you, right?
So, oh, yeah, I remember that situation. yep.
So I think that was more so understanding my inner teenager, but I feel like as we're talking to the listeners, understanding your inner teenager shows up in your leadership style, even at home, at work, with your friends, it's going to show up in those spaces. So how do you think it shows up at work?
Oh, it shows up. Okay, in defensiveness,
okay.
I will say, you know, when and I'll use the example. I am the graduate advisor for the undergraduate sorority that I'm in, and I see it all the time. If I ask them to do something, let's say this is the rule, and they're like, "Well, why is it the rule?" Well, it's in the documents, and well. This document doesn't say, but no, the national document guides everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have it locally, the national one is the one that tells us, and it's in there.
Correct.
Well, it's not in it. So it's this bartering back and forth. And then from where I'm raised, I'm like, no, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The minute I say no and I shut it down, then, oh, my goodness, they don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the separate. And I tell them, I know you have a separate group chat without me in it. Just like employees have their own conversation about the boss. It shows up in withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see some that are engaged, some that withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
Attention seeking. Like, it shows up in all these different ways. And when you have a group as a leader trying to manage the defensive one, the rebellious one, the one that withdraws, the one that's seeking attention, that's where I'm like, y'all really want to be leaders? Mm-hmm. Because if you do, you have to manage them, because the leader inside of me, not even the leader, I would say the teenager inside of me is like, okay, we knuck if you buck.
Exactly.
But I can't do that as a leader, but I want to.
Right.
Because, and my inner voice is always saying, you know, we can go outside and fight.
Because now the inner teenager is ready to show itself.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's how I show my dominance.
Yes.
Right. That's how I show that I can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting you say that, because I wanted to sprinkle in a little bit of like understanding your trauma, right? So if you had trauma during those inner teenager years,
oh my gosh,
you're adding in another factor to that.
Whew.
Right? Because if you were in that 12, 13 phase and you grew up with us, maybe you had two parents that were together and they divorced when you were a teenager,
mm-hmm.
right? Or maybe you were living with mom and then now you're living with dad.
Mm.
If you add in a factor into trauma, now I'm factoring, do I even have a relationship with women that well?
Okay.
Do I have a relationship with men that well?
Yeah.
Right? During those teenagers' years. And if that's the caveat, we're missing that as a leader too sometimes.
Yeah. Because I've had some leaders that I'm like, they're too domineering for mm-hmm. me, because I didn't grow up in that space. You know, I had my mom and then my dad passed away early, so I didn't, and I had uncles, but consistently in the house day to day, there was not a male figure.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when I would have a domineering boss, I would be like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he using this tone? But then as I got older, I'm like, oh, that's a tone that maybe a father
Correct.
Would use. Mm-hmm. But because my dad had passed away, I didn't get to experience that because I was younger. I was baby girl. Mm-hmm. I was princess. So having to see them, like, oh, and I think that's what happens too when you say you add that other piece, that mm-hmm. dynamic in there. If you don't know it and experience it, you can interpret it in a different way.
Correct.
Because I thought that he didn't like me.
Correct.
And he was just very firm.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was like, you're one of my favorite employees, I'm like, stop lying. Like, I can't tell. You don't smile. Mm-hmm. You don't mm-hmm. do all the warm and fuzzy things, mm-hmm. you know, that my mom does.
Yep.
So no way you like me. And so, yeah, when you say that, I'm like, oh, now you're going to have me download a lot of articles.
Because I think leaders typically take that overachievement, right? Yep. And then they want to wear that as their badge. Versus understanding that I need to help my inner teenager right now.
You know what? Okay. That just made me think. Because when you talk about achievement, I was talking with a client yesterday, and we were both talking about how we used achievement and accolades mm-hmm. to overcompensate for what we thought we were missing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my inner teenager.
Yes.
I used grades,
mm-hmm.
degrees,
mm-hmm.
awards to compensate for my mom being a single mom.
Correct.
For growing up without my dad. And I mean, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. It was no one's fault. I mean, mm-hmm. he accidentally passed away, right? Tragic accident. But because of the pressures that society put on us, and this was in the early 80s, so
it was even
being
more,
a single mom was like stigma.
Yeah.
But using those things to prove that she was a good mom,
mm-hmm.
and having to realize, like, well, darn it, that was the inner teenager that I was trying to. Yeah, now it's like, I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. you know, who cares? But yeah.
Yeah, we as adults typically forget that our inner teenager is there, mm. right? It's the one that we kind of avoid because it's easier to think that it's just our inner child, right? And we're missing the fact that your inner teenager wants you to talk to him too, right?
Like because, when I call you skinny and you be like, whatever.
Yeah, no, and people don't realize, like, my inner teenager, I'll use the example of me. Like, my inner teenager was not known, right? He was in his shell. He had one or two friends in high school. So now when people are like, oh my God, like, you're Cecil, or you, I'd be like, no, right? Because my inner teenager is telling me, like, this is weird. This is odd. And it's uncomfortable. And people don't realize I go into my shell because that's my inner teenager telling me to go back into my shell. Mm. Right. Because he knows that's comfort. Yeah. And so I think we have to understand that when we become leaders, it's like your inner teenager is still there. They're telling you things.
Yeah.
You got to listen to them. It's not just your inner child.
So basically, our inner teenager is saying, see me.
Yes.
Validate me.
Ooh, on so many levels.
And love me in this space where I am.
And let me be weird.
Okay.
Let me be weird.
I'll be weird with you.
Because that was teenage phase, right? We thought everybody knew everything. Oh my God. He plays sports. Like, he's amazing. Mm. Not realizing his environment at home was the worst and sports was his escape.
I know some people like that.
Right. Or she's the popular girl. Oh my God. Like, everybody loves her. Everybody knows her. But at home, she was avoided. She had to sit in her room all day.
Yeah.
Right. High school became this community within a community. And you walk into that space and you walk into that building thinking that kids are they know everything. They're teenagers, right? You're, oh my God. Like, he's a senior. Like, he should know everything. And he knows nothing, right? His grades are 2.0.
On the way here, I was thinking about schools and everything that's going on now with schools. And I spoke into my notes and said, because I saw a post that said, bullying is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And I said, the bully, and I'll say the high school bully, the bully is the child that was or that is abused and or neglected and or ignored, not validated at home.
Then they become the worker.
Then they become the worker or the leader.
And do I now that teenager to experience the same things? I do the same thing to the adults in my life.
They do. Yes.
Because I never got my teenager validated. Mm-hmm. I never got to be weird and odd and have fun. Mm-hmm. I never got to develop the way I needed to develop.
Yeah.
And then I become a worker or a leader now. And now I exert dominance and I exert power because I didn't get that as a teenager.
And that's why I always tell all of my leaders, you have to do the inner self work. Mm-hmm. Because power exposes who you really are.
Ooh. Say it again.
Power exposes who you really are.
Because once you get it, now I get to do whatever I want with it.
You get to do whatever you want with it. But the pattern that you have seen, that is what you will do.
And copy.
Yes. So if people with power in your life were nasty, abusive, mean, all the things, you then become that because that was all that you saw and experienced.
I.e. the inner teenager.
The inner teenager.
Right, because now at this point, I didn't get any of that.
None of it.
No one gave me an opportunity to have those achievements and celebrate me. Mm-hmm. No one got the opportunity to just see me and be like, you're amazing, right? You're powerful. There was a conversation I had in the men's group a couple of days ago that said the high value man, right?
I'd be wanting to be a fly on the wall in those men groups.
You can't.
I know.
Listen, all the women say that. But the thing about it is high value, when they said the term, I was kind of like, right? But really, in reality, no one said that. And when we were teenager boys, you're high value. You bring value to something. Mm. So then we become adults and we're like, we're high value. Because no one affirmed us as teenage boys. Like, you're going to be amazing when you grow up. Mm-hmm. Especially if you grew up in a single parent household. Right? Yeah. Mom was trying to figure it out. So in that inner teenager, you're still validating yourself with that high value term.
Oh, wow. Because when I hear high value, I'm like, anybody to say high, that's high value. Right. That's just as bad as getting a text message with the chat GPT.
Texting
if you want $50,000 for your business. I'm like, I hear it. It's a red flag.
But in reality, if we weren't validated, we take those terms and we carry them like we talked about.
Like being badges.
Right? Now, because I wasn't valued as a teenager, I become this adult who wants to value things to feel like a sense of value. Right? I want to feel something.
Yeah.
So I carry like a badge because no one told me you are an amazing man. Mm-hmm. You are smart. No one used affirmations when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And I know there's probably a lot of listeners who are also men or women who didn't get affirmed as teenagers.
Yeah.
Then you convert them into adult leaders. Now I have value. Mm-hmm. Right. Now I make a salary that matches what I am. I have benefits that match what I am. I have an organization that trusts me now. That's mm-hmm. my parent. Mm-hmm. And they tell me that I can tell what people under me, my siblings, what to do.
Mm. Oh, wow. Well, darn it. Well, goodness, how much time do we have? Because I was thinking too, you know, that could even segue into how people parent. But yeah. Well, so the high value, just the title, you know, and even like people say, oh, Dr. P. And I'm like, you know what? It took me a while, right after I got my doctorate, because it was so anticlimactic. You work hard and then it's like, oh, this it, you know? And then it was like, the title that I have doesn't heal any wounds that I carry.
Correct.
And I tell leaders too, like, you can have authority and still be emotionally reactive. You can run a company and still feel rejection. You can lead others and still abandon yourself. So your title doesn't heal your wounds. Power reveals who you are, and your leadership, the pressure, it just shows what's unresolved in your life.
And that's a very powerful statement. Right? That's an ability to under those three statements are powerful to help them understand that your inner teenager matters.
Yeah. She really does. Oh, she's probably weeping on the inside for me.
In that room, listen to her favorite song.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? So I realized my inner teenager didn't make strong connections. Like, you know how some people are like, oh, my gosh, I'm a New Edition fan. And I think, like, what do I really like that? I don't have, like, a top artist that I love. Well, I do love Jeezy. who is performing in Vegas on my birthday. Okay, anyway. But I don't have any, you know, like, I see people with teams. I don't have, you know, I'm like, oh, I just like the strategy of the game of football.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, my inner teenager didn't hunker down with any particular thing. I guess my anchor or my thing, I don't know, it's probably just been my family, because I went to school with cousins. I'm sitting here talking to a cousin. Yeah, so I'm gonna go back and
Yeah, right.
That's got me stumped here.
Some homework for the listeners, right?
You know, I don't like homework.
That's why I said it, because I remember I saw your post. Some homework for the listeners,
oh,
right?
Therapy is all fun and games until you get homework.
Right, and that's our favorite word, homework, right? To be able to sit and understand that your inner teenager is what created who you are as an adult, right? So how do you shift that inner teenager to becoming a grounded adult inside of leadership?
Inside of leadership, you have to do the work. I always say you need a therapist and a coach, a leadership coach. So I always tell my clients, I'm not your therapist because I don't have the framework and tools like you do. But what I can help you do is build a system. And so it starts with grounding yourself, giving yourself those affirmations and not the fluffy stuff, right?
Yeah.
You have to really talk to yourself and say, okay, what do I need in this moment? For me, I wake up and say, I am grounded and I am prepared. Like, that is important to me. I'm grounded and I'm prepared, and today is not a threat. Because high school for me was so overwhelming. And so I tell leaders, like, what is your thing? Ground it, and then give yourself at least 15 to 30 minutes a day where it's just you. Block it out on your calendar, and you have to be dead set, like, this is my time, and it's your non-negotiable. I don't make appointments for work before 9:30. Because I know my morning is crazy with, you know, that darn school line. So I really stick to 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And that's a non-negotiable for me. And that's how I protect my time. That's how I protect my peace. And I tell leaders, you have to do and you have to be vigilant about it every single day so that it becomes a habit for you. And then it's a, you know, then you're just smooth sailing, like, no, we're not doing anything for 10. So, yeah, those are the things I always tell leaders. But leaders sometimes don't want to do that because they're like, just tell me what to do. And I'm like, I can't.
That statement alone says what?
Well, when I can't.
Tell me what to do.
Oh, because that's that's the teenager, right? The inner teenager.
Told me to, my parents told me what to do.
Yep.
So now you're the parent.
Uh-huh.
Because you're higher up, you're above me, right? Power dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And you seem to be, now I look at you as the parent. So tell me what to do now. I don't want to be, I don't know, I'm lost.
And people are uncomfortable in the gray. I always say, as a leader, you have to be comfortable in the gray because there are a lot of things that you don't know and you have to trust your gut. But like, as we're talking about, if you're a teenager and your gut is like all over the place, you don't know who's talking to you.
My gut tell me, I just want to work. I just want to come to work and just work. I don't want to do nothing else. I just want to get this check every 2 Fridays and go party on the weekend, right? That's what my inner teenager tells me when I go to work. But because I didn't have, maybe my parents told me what to do all the time. They walk me through everything.
Yeah.
Right. And then I get to work and I'm like, tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Because someone walked me through those things first.
Yeah.
That's why I say, like, being a leader, you have to understand the dynamic of the people you're working with.
Yes.
There has to be a little bit of therapy, right? Enough to understand the framework of their lives.
Yes.
To be able to be a leader that says, okay, my teenager is safe. Yours is safe. I got you. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if not, that you can get people who say, like, tell me what to do, and you're like, okay, do it. Like, I told you to do it.
Just
do
it. And they're like, what? I don't know what to do.
I'm lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've said that, I would say, in a couple recently in business. Like, I'm 7 years in, like, I don't know what to do next. Like, okay, I need a, so then I'm like, I need a coach that is 10 light years ahead of me mm-hmm. in business so that they can then model me because I know where I want to take it. Mm-hmm. But some leaders, that takes a level of vulnerability to say, hey, this is where I am right now in business. I don't know all the ins and outs, how to scale it to X. Can you show me? And that takes a level of being emotionally integrated and emotionally vulnerable.
Correct.
And so it's hard. But I mean, I love what I do, you know, with mm-hmm. my clients. But I also say, you also need someone to help you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know we talked about some signs already, but what would you say could be one sign for someone's inner teenager who may be leading?
Micromanage. Yeah.
Can you define micromanage for the listeners?
Oh, my gosh. They don't trust anybody. They tell you to do something, and then 5 minutes later, they're, did you do it? How did you do it? Well, you know what? This is how you do it. And it's, you know, and most employees are like, fine, well, you do it then.
Exactly. Right, you've already done the work. Just do it.
Since you know how to do it, you know, or, you know, when they're micromanaging, no one can do it right.
Correct.
They're on you 24/7. You feel like you can't breathe. And anytime I see a micromanager, my first question when I'm working with them is, who taught you not to trust? Like, because micromanage is a trust issue. Mm-hmm. And then they look like, I'm like, no, you don't trust your staff to do this. And you're there because if you're micromanaging your staff, you can't be the visionary for your department.
And then we talk into the therapist framework that goes, did your parents always make sure that you were doing things consistently on top of you all the time?
Oh.
Right. Is that a reason why you micromanage? Because your parents did the same thing to you. So the only way you know power and control is the same way that they did. They taught you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
Yeah.
Or is it the fact that when you go home, you don't
have control.
So there's a couple of different pieces to that. Mm-hmm. But I think the micromanaging is definitely a big sign of someone who's leading with their inner teenager. So today's takeaway is, you may be leading with experience, but we're reacting with inner teenager /adolescents.
So what's their homework?
So the homework is,
I hate homework, guys. That's why I didn't assign it. And that was that, I was that type of professor too. I would give a lot of homework, like, but I like to read. So I would make them write like 10, 15 page papers.
But I'm going to give you guys like homework, but I'm also saying like most therapists give homework and forget about it sometimes because we have life. So there's a fun fact to that too. But no, I think the homework is looking at the inner teenager, right? That years of creative that you might have missed.
Because
yeah. Sometimes we put down those things that we love. If mm-hmm. it was painting, drawing, because someone didn't validate us.
Yeah.
But I would say for the listeners to take a moment to look at those years, those 12, 13 to like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And what did you put down that you love? Were you a puzzle person? Were you a painter? Were you a person who wrote music or poetry? Go back to that.
Yeah, pick it up.
Pick it back up.
Because that's your base. That's your foundation of who mm-hmm. you are.
Even during your breaks at work, right? Yes. Find a coloring book and color, mm-hmm. right? Because by the time, I guarantee you, by the time you're done coloring, you're going to come back and be in a smile on your face and happy because you did something that helped that inner teenager.
Yeah.
So I would say that's the homework.
Okay, guys. Pick up your creative.
Thank you guys for joining us on The Mindful Edge. I want to give a shout out to our wonderful producer, Chris Pfeiffer. And then also you can check us out on any podcast platform that you have, WGTE.org/The Mindful Edge.
He got it right today, guys. Talk to you later. Love y'all.
Love you guys.
WGTE. Voices around us.